Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambo Leap, Leroy Butler.
Yeah. Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show.
It is the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline is our Green and Gold insider, Mike Clemens. Schneider is hiring drivers right now. For more info, call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Good afternoon, Michael.
Big show.
I got to tell you, first off, we got to talk about the one play with Devontae Adams where he ends up with that touchdown and he goes in motion and then sprints from left to right across the line of scrimmage, and they're able to figure out what Jalen Ramsey was doing and get a relatively easy touchdown there. I don't remember having seen that throughout the course of the year. I loved it.
The only thing that made that play sweeter was that of all the 31 other teams in the NFL, you did it to Sean McVay.
True.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, and the instantly I saw that, and the other stuff that I'm seeing in the league, too, with motions that are going on, I think it was the Buffalo game. They had a guy go behind Josh Allen, make a U-turn, and then go back to the other side. I mean, the league is into motion, pre-snap motion, and it's fun to watch.
You know, Mike, I was not necessarily concerned, but you were there at the game. It just looked like there were more than, I don't know, was it, they said 8,000 people there? I mean, you were there. Can you give us a look how what that looked like or how that was there?
Yeah, you know, so I'm so used to, unfortunately, this past season, pulling up to 100 cars in the parking lot on game day at Lambeau Field. And so there was a little bit more activity, and we were parking in a slightly different lot. But, man, once you get up to the gate, it was just sweet. Just all of a sudden, oh, yeah, the fans are today. Because, you know, you think so much about the things you got to do for your broadcast, the storylines of the game and everything. And it was like running into an old friend to see fans pregame coming in their, you know, green and gold costumes and, you know, bringing their signs and everything. That's great. There's all kinds of things that are – I thought of you, Gary, by the way. Do you remember years ago when the Eagles came and you and I got to talk to their play-by-play voice guy?
Right, yeah, around by the bus place.
Yeah.
Yeah, bus pickup.
That's all chained off.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So you can't look through those gates close when the visiting team buses arrive up there by that loading dock area. You know, there's just all kinds of extra security things like that. But, you know, Mark Murphy, he had two or three games where he had 500 people let in, right?
Right.
Family and friends. And then he started letting in first responders. And they've got all kinds of extra kinds of security things that they're doing in check-in points that he wanted to rehearse. And they did that after, you know, a couple of games. And then they felt good that we can go to the next level. And last Tuesday they sold 6,000 seats in about, you know, 4 hours or so to the the season ticket holders that opted in. So when it gets to the game, when the one of the things that it's like third quarter, and it's like, what is that weird noise up in the press box? It sounded like rushing water, huh? And I figured it out. It was these fans banging these signs on the press box.
Yeah, Aaron referenced that too.
Or on those metal benches at Lambeau Field. Because when you walked in, I saw this. I took some pictures, and I'll post them up on my Twitter account when we get done. When I'm walking on the catwalk up to the press box, if you're a fan, you got through your checkpoint and your ticket on your cell phone and all that stuff, then you walked in, and the Packers gave you one of those placards.
And it says defense or whatever the case may be on it.
Defense or offense, and then it had a sponsor name on the other. Those fans, and it was over 8,000, they sold 6,000 seats. They brought in about 1,000 for family and friends, they explained. And then the rest were, again, some of these first responders. Those people were yelling the whole game. They were yelling. They were clapping. They would take those signs and bang them on their anything they could do to make noise when the Rams had a third down. It was awesome. I mean, it really stood out. And I know it's been – it also – I realized how quiet it's been all season in there.
Right.
But it was a special thing. That, you know, Aaron Rodgers said, man, I got emotional because of that participation. It's a real deal. It's been a tough year for everybody, and that was a real positive thing.
Mike, you're one of the few guys in America can answer this question. That's why I'm going to pose it to you. Out of all these championship games, the 49ers last year, Seattle with Mike McCarthy, Atlanta with Mike McCarthy, Chicago, which they won, Mike McCarthy, how is this championship different? Now, I know we're in a pandemic, and I know COVID aside, if you can just separate that for a minute, which is tough when 400,000 Americans has passed away from this deadly disease, hopefully we can get a vaccine to everybody. How is this different when you're covering the two GOATs, the two number 12s? How have you been able to focus in on your storylines? Because I know you're ahead, you don't wait. So how is this championship going to be different for you, Mike?
Comes down to the quarterback. And I can't get this out of my head, Roy, is as much as well as I got to know your guy, Brett Favre, and I'm down on the field on a Monday night, October 5th, 2009, and he's wearing purple that night, and we're in the old Metrodome, and I'm 20 feet away from him during warm-ups. And I look at him in the face, I'm like, oh, my God, he's scared out of his mind. I've known this guy since 1992. I've never seen – what is – I've seen that look in his face. Now, he went out and won that game. But 5 years later, we're sitting down in an interview, and we talked about what happened in that first game against the Packers up in Minneapolis. He says, I was scared blank. I was so nervous. I was so upset. That's the most upset I've ever been for a game. Now – I can't tell you, but I was there in Tampa, and even before he threw the two picks, and I had the binoculars on Rodgers, he had the happy feet. He was looking left and right. His eyes were wide open. I don't understand. I don't understand why he was so upset against that Todd Bowles defense and some of those guys that they were shooting up the middle or wherever they were coming from, but he was in a hurry. His feet were moving fast, and then he threw two picks, and I... And the following week, when we tried to ask him about it, that was the week that he cut off Mark Daniels and said,
"Yeah,
oh, yeah. So you're saying just because, you know, I lose one game, we're like 4-0 that I've been figured out, our offense has been figured out?" And then Domoski said, "Are you in a bad mood?" "No, and don't project that on me."
I mean, right.
So you guys answer it for me. It's like he didn't, you know, he's had some bad games in that stadium, and he's up against Tom Brady, and it's a big, like, primetime game in late afternoon. He was off that day.
Yeah.
So his offense is a whole lot better. He's a whole lot better. Hell, for me, the play of the game Saturday night, he's in his own end zone, in the south end zone, rolling out to the right, and like, what are you doing? You're going to get killed, or they're going to get a safety, you know? And he finds Lazard down the numbers and zips this dart for 20. Instead of getting stuck in the end zone, he finds Alan Lazard out at the 21-yard line. Unbelievable play. He is so in the zone right now. Let's just hope that he's got that momentum
Hey,
now
Mike,
at 205.
Mike, real to your point, allegedly, after the game, Rodgers was leaving. He said, I'll be back here again.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I'll be back. And he realized the Super Bowl is in Tampa. I'll be back. We lost this one, but I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he did. And so, you know, and he also, it was after that game, a week or two after, that's when he started saying over and over again, we've got to get this game in Green Bay. We've got to get this game in Green Bay.
Yep.
Talking with Mike Clemens,
that's good stuff, Mike.
Our Green and Gold insider here on the Wendy's Big Show on the Big Show Radio Network. You know, going into that game, there was the Ramsey-Devontae Adams talk. It was those two trash talk, well, not trash talking, but having a conversation before the game and so forth. Did that whole thing play out the way you saw it playing out before the game, Mike?
Yeah, only because of what Sean McVay said. He said, stop with this Ramsey on Devontae Adams.
Yep,
because that's
sure
not
did.
The way our defense runs. I mean, he may cover him. And it looked to me, Leroy, like it was like kind of a, you know, a corner and a safety, whatever side Devontae was on, and then more like a zone where Lazard was if he was on the opposite side. And then, of course, you know that Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett, they're going to try and motion Devontae more, and they're going to try and get him out of the slot more often than just keep lining up, you know, wide left or something like that. So, no, and that's also why, you know, Brandon Staley's got a head job.
The head coach.
The head coach of the Chargers. Is people think he's got some innovative stuff that he did from his years with Vic Fangio, like we talked about last week, and now moving on to a head coaching job.
Wow.
No, you're exactly right.
Me and Gary, the only two don't get those kind of promotions.
No, well, I mean.
Well, we are statewide now, but.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, there's some good stuff coming down. I mean, I got my Leak Vodka coming.
There you know, go.
I mean, there's a lot of good stuff statewide. I'm up for the Hall of Fame. Life is good.
Really?
Yeah, life is good. Mike, real quick before we let you get going here, have you just deeply reflected and thought about this Packer team, like what you're looking at right now?
Oh, that's a good question.
My high school coach, John Heinicke, played for the Wisconsin Badgers, and he always said, a football team's only as good as its weakest player.
Yeah.
And I keep on looking. I've been talking about the special teams, and I talked to you about that in the postgame show. Like,
yep.
Come on. J.K. Scott, what are you doing flipping the ball to Mason Crosby? Just fall
right.
on it.
You're right.
What are you doing?
Well, somebody got to tell him, Mike. He didn't know.
And in that, I see this guy that they brought back Brian Price. Remember, he was promising 5-6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spent some time with the Cowboys. He's elevated to the game, to the active roster and playing it. And then this kid named Kavari Russell. He spent 3 years with the Bengals. Well, he's up. He's up and playing special teams and makes a beautiful play there in the fourth quarter where he downs the punt, you know, in the red zone for them. Nice hustle. And I'm watching these special teams, and I'm watching, you know, Sean Menenga trying to get Tavon Austin better blocking on punt return. And Menenga said if the Rams are, if they got a 3rd and 10 and now they got to go to a 4th and 10 and punt, I feel better they're not going to run a fake, so I can get at least another guy on those gunners. And he would do that. On the top side, he'd have two guys on the gunner and one guy on the gunner, you know, closest to us on the bench. And he was trying to buy more time for Tavon Austin to help in his returns. I don't know if that was much of a play out. But the point is this. Your team, football team is only as good as your weakest player, and they've got a healthy Jay Sternberger and Josh Jackson and Kadar Holman inactive because they're bringing in guys off the street. And that's how much depth you've got. You got Snacks Harrison with 5 snaps the other night. 2 of them were in special teams because you don't need them. Dean Lowry's starting to play, and they're coming up with schemes that are confusing guys, And if you got that much depth, good luck stopping this team.
Well, see, and that's just it though too, Mike, is the fact that Goody hasn't just stopped trying to acquire more talent to add to this roster. He is on the hunt, the look to see if he can continue to improve this team with essentially two games left.
He's got a full time punter and place kicker on that practice squad just in case COVID or something else crazy happens. Or, you know, J.K. Scott gets Mason Crosby killed on a read pass option.
He can't tackle it. He can't throw. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
He is Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joins us Mondays and Fridays here on the Wendy's Big Show. We will talk to you on Friday leading up to the NFC Championship game.
Take care.
Take care. There is Mike Clemens on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider is hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Coming up on the other side, we haven't talked about the AFC side of things at all and the two games that we witnessed over the weekend leading up to the AFC Championship game coming up this coming weekend. We'll do that coming up next. But first, Gary Ellerson, where do you go to buy your cars?
Well, my good friends over at Hyundai West Dallas. I mean, if you're looking for the best possible deal on a car, it's going to be at Hyundai West Dallas, where my good friend Joe Zenzola and I have bought a car. My good friend Steve Sparky Pfeiffer has bought a car. My good friend Big Time.
Now you're talking about McGivern, a celebrity.
Yeah, has bought in a car there, guys.
Big Time, a true celebrity.
All the time. And we've got great deals going on all the time, guys. They have decided to continue the $500 savings for our listeners. Just mention me, Joe Zenzola, and you receive an extra $500 off any new vehicle in stock. Plus, as long as the Green and Gold are still playing, mention them and me and Joe Zenzola and receive an extra $750 off. Hyundai West Dallas also will beat any other Wisconsin dealer pricing. So not only will you receive their award-winning customer service, their amazing response to COVID-19, you will get the best pricing in town. Hyundai West Dallas is located just off of Highway 100 between Lincoln and National Avenue. Visit them in person or go to their website at HyundaiWestDallas.com. Guys, right there you can buy your car right at HyundaiWestDallas.com, guys. And when you go in, make sure you mention me and our favorite team for Green Bay. And just so you know, guys, Hyundai West Dallas is a part of the International Autos Group.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network. Now back to the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, on the Big Show Radio Network.
They snap it. They're going for it. They flood it right. Caught Tyreek Hill. Stays in bounds. The same play that they closed the game out against New Orleans. They do it to Cleveland.
So I'm proud of Chad and the way he handled everything. And you know, he probably said it best when he said, listen, this team is unbelievable when somebody has to come in and make them feel comfortable. And, you know, that's what team's all about. So, again, I'm proud of the way he handled things. So,
there you go. Chiefs radio on the highlight. Andy Reid talking afterwards on that 4th-and-1 call. Chad Henne at quarterback after Pat Mahomes was knocked out. Chiefs beat the Browns 22-17. It's the one of his Big Show broadcasting live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studio. And Andy Reid was asked about that 4th-and-1 call by Adam Tyker, who said, when did 4th-and-1 become a throwing down? Reid responded, I went to BYU. Every down is a throwing down. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Who said that? I went to BYU?
Andy Reid. He was asked about 4th-and-1 becoming a throwing down. He said, I went to BYU. Why? Every down is a throwing down.
They did. That's right. That's where Mike Holmgren came from,
correct,
too, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. BYU.
Sure, certainly did. So when we talk about this game here and Patrick Mahomes getting knocked out, now he's in concussion protocol, so we'll see if he is able to play coming up this weekend. One would assume he'll be able to play. And they get that win, and I'll be honest with you, like, there were plays in that game when Higgins reached for that touchdown for that pylon, and the ball got loose when he got hit in the helmet, which should have been a targeting call or something, and nothing was thrown on that play. The ball goes loose, rolls out of the end zone, and then they call it a touchback, Gary. That was brutal. And as far as I was concerned, that probably was the turning point of that football game, because it just really took all the air out of their sails, because on that drive, Baker Mayfield was unconscious with his throws.
Well, I mean, you were just saying, okay, you know, Baker Mayfield is going to have to make some plays to win it. Now, you know, I thought for sure with 4 minutes to go in the game, I go, are they going to punt the ball? I'm talking about Cleveland. And I go, yeah, they're going to punt it because it's Chad Henne. Of course they're going to punt it. If it was Mahomes, they probably wouldn't punt it. And that put them in a tough spot. I don't know, hindsight 2020, now they look back on it, I'm probably sure they're thinking that maybe they should have kept it and had a chance, or at least gave themselves a chance to get it. But who knew that on fourth down, they had them some big cojones, bro. Chad Henne, after he just threw that long touchdown pass long interception to who? Nobody? I mean, that was just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would have done that with a backup quarterback, but, you know, most certainly they did it.
I got some news coming out of Tampa Bay here before we continue talking about the AFC playoffs. Rick Stroud, a longtime guy that's covered Tampa Bay. Bucs are designated defensive tackle Vita Vea for return from injured reserve. He'll begin practicing Wednesday, could be activated for Sunday's NFC title game. He's coming back off of a fractured ankle that happened against the Bears in October. That is a big addition for their run defense and even just pushing that pocket as well. Vita Vea is a beast.
Yeah, it's a big guy up front. I mean, he's a lot like Gilbert Brown. I mean, not, you know, but that's what you're going to get up front.
That's a big addition for them. Yeah, no question. A big addition. Getting back to this Chiefs-Browns game, again, Chiefs winning 22-17. I think if you're a Browns fan, you're pretty excited by the progress that was made under Kevin Stefanski as head coach this year, the progress of Baker Mayfield, the ability to run the football at will throughout the course of the year. And that Cleveland Browns team getting better and better, Gary Ellerson.
Well, they did. I mean, all year long. I mean, the offense fit what Baker Mayfield can do. Chubb, the running back, they can go play action pass off of that. Landry with that. Njoku, that's his name, the big
tight end.
He's
gotten better at tight end.
Yeah, he's got so much better at tight end. And so, they just devise a game plan around Baker Mayfield and our offense, I should say, and it worked for them. Their defense is pretty good. I mean, they've got some nice players over there. I think they can even get better defensively.
Then the other game, on the AFC side of things, the Ravens and the Bills with wins that made it feel like it was a monsoon or something. Again, Justin Tucker missing multiple field goals for the Baltimore Ravens. That was going on while we were doing the Green and Gold postgame show on Saturday night. And everybody was losing their minds. What is going on? He doesn't miss field goals like this. And that was just a sign of things to come, really, for the Baltimore Ravens. And even though Josh Allen wasn't all that great in this game, Gary, they were good enough because of their defense.
Well, the pick six hurt them,
101-yard pick six. Yep.
Yeah, that hurts you, obviously. That puts the game. But you're right when you talk about Josh Allen. I didn't think he particularly played well.
Did not.
But defensively they're a lot better than the Bills are a lot better than you think that they are. Micah Hyde, former Packer. I mean, that's one guy. Every time I see him play, how do we let him go? I mean, he continues just to make plays and just play heady football back there in the back end for them.
Let's go to Sean and Racine. Sean, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Hey, guys. I called in last week on Wednesday in the first hour and brought up Bill Michaels' 4 points for teams going into the playoffs. Got to be good, lucky, hot, and healthy. And I actually surprisingly predicted that they would win 32 to about 16, 17, 18, and that turns out to be exactly the case. I was shocked myself, but the way it worked out, it showed what I said then, that they are on paper better in every aspect of the game except for special teams. And after I saw those two big returns on Sunday by the Saints, obviously they're not who our opponent is now, and I'm kind of glad because of that. Special teams could have been a problem. It was their Achilles heel all season. I think it'll be a much closer game when they're playing Tampa Bay on Sunday. But with us having home field advantage and with how hot, healthy, lucky, and good they are going on right now, I still think they win and we finally get back to another Super Bowl with Rodgers, which has been long overdue. It's going to take somebody else, I think, stepping up, like when Lazard had that catch. That helps seal the game.
Yeah, you know, thanks.
You hope that Crosby's okay, but I think that they end up winning the game maybe more like 31-24 this time.
All right, thanks for the call, and we'll continue to talk about that game with the Bucks as we get later into the week here. But that's the thing. I mean, with the weather forecast the way it is for Sunday and snow in the forecast, Gary, I don't think either team is probably going to have huge returns if they're slipping and sliding going on at Lambeau.
No, I mean, probably not, but I think advantage Green Bay, right? I mean, it has to be.
Both special teams units suck. I mean, so
yeah,
I don't know.
But if I'm just saying if the weather's bad, advantage Green Bay. It has to be. But our special teams are nothing to write. Did Joe tell me where we ranked in special teams?
We did not get into that, but we'll get into that coming up next. And we're also coming up next in a look ahead to that Bucks and Nets game tonight. Harden and Durant. Will Kyrie play or won't he? We'll tell you next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network. Now, back to the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, on the Big Show Radio Network.
It is the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler had to take off a little bit earlier today, and Gary will take off here in a few minutes as well as they have their TV taping for Spectrum One News. You'll be able to see their roundtable discussion with Dennis Crosby like you've had all football season coming up later tonight. And don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. So if the Bucks beat the Nets tonight, you win tomorrow and right after the game. So from the time the game goes final for the next 24 hours, you win. All you have to do is stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's after a Bucks win for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary. So after each and every Bucks win, stop by participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary. Again, offers only good for 24 hours after a Bucks win. So you have to act fast for certain on that one. And again, you know, we look ahead to this Milwaukee Bucks basketball game coming up tonight, and it's brought to you by your local Pick and Save Stores, the official grocer of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gary. And Kevin Durant and James Harden did what they do in their first game together against the Orlando Magic over the weekend. Harden with a 30-point-plus triple-double. Durant throws up 42, and they beat the Orlando Magic without Kyrie Irving. Based on all reports out this afternoon, Kyrie Irving will not play tonight for the Brooklyn Nets. However, Woj from ESPN says they think Kyrie will be available to play Wednesday and Friday against Cleveland. And, of course, that is Kyrie's former team. And the one thing I did not realize, he's only played in Cleveland once since leaving Cleveland. So it'll be interesting to see how they all play together. But this is not going to be an easy matchup. Even without Kyrie out tonight for the Nets, Gary, trying to stop Harden and Kevin Durant is going to be tougher than anything else this Giannis-led Bucks team has faced in the East to this point.
Well, a peek, you know, pull back the curtains a little bit. You get to see a little something. I mean, listen, we talked to you guys, Scalabrine, and he's thinking this may not be the team in the end anyway, that they may move on from Kyrie. We'll see. If they do move on from Kyrie, and it's going to be about Harding and Durant, then we'll get a chance to see what that looks like right now tonight. So I'm interested to see this game and see what it's going to be about and how they're going
to
play it.
I want to see who takes who. That to me, that's what I want to see on the defensive side of the floor. Who's going to take Durant? Is it going to be Giannis, go get him? Is it going to be Chris, do your best? Middleton, go do your best? Like, who takes Durant? And then the other thing I want to see is, who is going to take James Harden? Because before, that was Bledsoe, right? And Bledsoe would shade him to his right hand and make him have to go left. Like, just completely disrespectful shading, Gary. Like, would literally just stand by his
head. Jump to one side.
I'd be like, you can go left. Yeah. Like, I'm not even going to try, but you are not going right. And It was disrespectful. And the first time I saw him do it, I'm like, what kind of stupid crap is this? What are we doing?
It worked.
And it worked. And he did it every single time, and it worked. Now, again, I don't know if it was Bledsoe's idea, Bucks coach's idea, don't know. But now you have another good defender, like Bledsoe is, probably a better defender for certain, the fact that he can defend multiple positions better than Bledsoe, and Drew Holiday. So will Drew Holiday be that guy to go over and guard James Harden? That's the nice thing that – without Kyrie, you don't got to worry about a point guard necessarily. But when Kyrie's on this floor and you have two dominant guards, then you're going to have further issues as far as who defends who on that side. That's kind of what I'm thinking. If you're the Bucks, Gary, how do you go about this? Are you telling Giannis, go stop KD? Or are you worried about him getting tired, whatever the case may be, and you're going to ask Middleton to try and go stop KD?
Well, I think this is a preseason game. I don't think go stop nobody. I just don't think both of these guys, I think both teams know at the end of the day that they may be in the Eastern Conference Championship. They may not show their hand. You may see some clues or pull some things out. But I don't know if I want to say, okay, you go get this guy, you go get this guy, and this is how we're going to play it. I think you may see some of those things, but I still think the regular season is still in the NBA, a process of filling each other out, and then they do something different or play a little harder during the playoffs. That's what it feels like to me.
I, as a fan, would probably, from a fan perspective, go, that's regular season. But I just wonder from a player perspective in both locker rooms what the chatter is. Is the chatter in the Bucks locker room with Chris Middleton and Giannis going, everybody's talking about how great these two guys are, and oh, Kyrie, and oh, the Bucks aren't going to have a chance. It's all about the three superstars. If that chatter isn't going on in their locker room of, we're going to stop this right now and let them know who the best in the East is. And then if you're on the other side of things, Harden, who we know has had his thing with Giannis for the last couple of years, I'm sure he's telling KD, look, I don't care who we beat, but we're beating this dude. Like, I'm sick of all of this love and praise going to this dude. We're taking this dude out. For me, every time LeBron got Giannis when he was in Miami throughout that entire run, it felt like LeBron really pushed it up a little bit to try and stop this talk of the torch being passed and all this other stuff about how great Giannis was. He kind of pushed it up a little bit every time he faced Giannis. And I just have this feeling that every time they see Harden and Durant and then Kyrie, I just feel like they're going to push it on the Bucks a little bit, and the Bucks are going to have to be ready to respond. Like, I don't think it's going to be the same effort against them as it is against Orlando or Cleveland. Well, maybe for Kyrie it will be, but against right. Cleveland or Detroit, like, they're going to be out there to prove something because, hey, that the Bucks are the team to beat the last 2 years in the East, at least in the regular season, to get that one seed. And that has to be something that is probably being talked about, I would think.
I think it might be, Steve, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it plays out so much like that in the NBA. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to send a statement tonight. I think it's still a feel out kind of process. I don't think they go in the locker room and say, we got to shut this guy down right now and we got to do this right now. I don't feel like it's that way. Most certainly, these guys are going to play 100% and give them that their best. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. But I don't know if it's got that much weight to it as you're trying to make it be.
We'll figure it out tonight because once we see this game on.
It's a much-watched TV because of all the things that you said. If they were to do that or how it does. I mean, it's a very intriguing matchup still. I'm not saying it's not because I'm going to be tuned in.
Because what's going to happen is this game's on TNT. So this isn't just a Fox Sports Wisconsin game. This is on TNT. So the whole country's going to see it, which means that if one blows out one, there's going to be a reaction to this across the country. If Harden and Durant just take it to the Bucks and they get absolutely killed in this game without Kyrie, it's going to be like, well, they're the team in the East, just like we thought they were. This is going to be a problem for the Bucks and everybody else in the East. But if the Bucks, for some reason, walk away and blow them out, then I think the narrative is a little bit different. Then the narrative is, well, they just got to learn how to play together, wait till Kyrie gets
it.
Like, there's going to be excuses if the Nets get
walked
out of the gym.
Totally agree.
If the Bucks get blown out, Gary, it's going to be a different story.
It's going to be a whole different story, and especially from TNT.
Yes.
No doubt about it. I totally agree with you 100%. But those guys in the locker room are not worried about it. I don't think Yeniston will be worried about that kind of mess.
Yeah, and that's going to be the thing to watch here. I'm anxious. Like, I cannot wait to see this Bucks and Nets game tonight.
What time?
That game is at, 6:30, I believe, on TNT tonight. And, again, this preview brought to you by your local Pick and Save Stores, the official grocery of the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to go over what we had for our predictions from over the weekend with Dan Plucker and some interesting stuff from Davante Adams from after the game. We'll play back for you as well. That's all coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
16 stations strong, the Big Show Radio Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers beat the Rams 32-18 to advance to the NFC Championship. Big plays on offense, like running back Aaron Jones, starting off the second half with a 60-yard run thanks to a big block by Corey Linsley downfield that set up another touchdown.
We've kind of been running that similar play a couple times and kind of seeing how the defense was fitting it, and they plussed a linebacker over, which left the middle of the field wide open, and it allowed Corey to climb up to the safety. So it pretty much popped right open, and it's good blocking up front.
Aaron Rodgers said as the snow came down to Lambeau Field, he took a look around at the 8,000 fans that attended.
It felt like 50,000 when we ran out of the tunnel. It really did. It was such a special moment.
The Rams came into the game with the number one rated defense in the NFL. Matt LaFleur on what he told Rodgers before the game.
You know, basically I said, hey man, whatever you see out there, understand that, totally trust you're the guy in charge out there. So whatever you see, go with it.
Up next, the Packers face the Buccaneers, a team they lost to week 5, 38-10 in Tampa. Tom Brady, after the Bucs beat the Saints 30-20 in New Orleans.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's great for our team, and we worked hard to get to this point. Yeah. Two road playoff wins is pretty sweet. We got to go beat a great football team, one we know pretty well. And, Aaron's playing incredible, and we're going to have to play great to beat him.
That's Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens.
Now, back to the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, on the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome back. See Sparky Fiverr with you as Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler again off to tape their TV show for Spectrum News 1 with Dennis Krause. We'll be talking about what happened over the weekend between the Packers and Rams as the Packers are headed to the NFC Championship game after disposing of the Rams 32-18. You look ahead to next weekend at the early lines right now. And the Buccaneers are 3.5-point dogs to the Packers. The over-under set at 51 and 205 kick for that one. Then a 540 kick for Bills at Kansas City and the Chiefs. Both forecasts include snow and or rain changing to snow in Kansas City's case. Kansas City favored by 3, over-under in that game, 54. Obviously, they think Buffalo can score some points against that Kansas City defense for that number to be that high, at least in my humble opinion. And that's brought to you by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com today. And again, if you are a rookie like me and have no idea what you're doing as far as betting or anything else goes, these are the guys that give you all the information, all the intel to make you feel like the smartest guy in the room when you start talking about point spreads and all this other stuff. So make sure to give them a look-see. Davante Adams, after the game, obviously everybody wanted to talk about Ramsey and his matchup and so forth. But the one thing that got brought up that I, again, brought me out of my chair when I was watching it was the Davante Adams touchdown that had him kind of sprinting in motion and trying to get to the corner of the end zone right there across the goal line before Ramsey could get back across. And Davante talked about that play.
Yeah, I think the timing was perfect. Really, I had the easy job. It's just about timing it up and making sure I'm moving full speed, because it's tough to cover all of that ground. And the hardest part is turning back and catching the ball that's inside. That's probably the toughest part. But even that was easy. I think it was just a great play design, and Aaron put that ball out there for me to be able to make a play. And we made it.
The other thing that was brought up to Davante was once you saw Ramsey running with you, across the field that obviously was, I'm guessing, a heads up that is probably man-to-man coverage.
Yeah, I mean, you just pray that because, I mean, at the end of the day, let's keep it real. I mean, you guys don't know as much coverage and can't identify it. You know what the coverage is. Like, if I tell you cover two, you know it's not man. But when you're watching the tape or watching the game, it's probably difficult to tell. But, I mean, maybe five snaps, I'll say three to five snaps the entire game of man coverage. So that was one of them. And we were hoping to get that. That's why I motioned to the other side just to see first. And then once he traveled with me, with him not traveling the entire game, it's a tell-all, let you know what coverage they're in. So for me, once I saw him going, it was just about getting over there to, back to the other side with as much speed as possible. And honestly, Aaron had the toughest job because that's a tough throw to make when I'm literally screaming across the line of scrimmage, running full speed, and he can't snap it until I get past the center line. So the hard job is on him to be able to get that ball in his hands. Cause I don't even know if he can get the laces that quick with me running because I'm going to run out of real estate eventually. And then firing that thing over there. So once I saw it on the way, I knew as long as the ball is out, the way I'm running right now across the line of scrimmage, I was running like it was a go route, before I even crossed. And then the timing was perfect and, just ended up being a good play.
It was unbelievable. And Ramsey was so mad and so angry because I think the slot guy was supposed to move over, bump over it, and take him coming across the goal line, and that simply did not happen. And, of course, when you talk about Jalen Ramsey, you talk about trash talker extraordinaire, never shuts up. And Devontae was asked about that. Now, listen closely here, because remember going into this game, it was, oh, Jalen Ramsey's so great. He shuts down all the top wide receivers around the league. Devontae Adams is going to let you in on a little something.
Not a lot of talking during the game, honestly. Yeah, it was a good matchup. I wish we would have been able to have more of it with him not going in a slot and when I motioned away, he wasn't going with me. But, we've seen it on film, and that's kind of been the deal. So everything's get skewed. You look at the numbers and you see DK's numbers and all of that, and then they, all of these outlets put out what he had versus Ramsey when it's really skewed because he's not with them every play. So you can't say a guy had four catches for 44 yards and talk bad about him when he really had 100 in the game. But I mean, we all know what Jalen's about. He's a great player, and we came out with a win tonight. I don't know what I finished with, but I was proud of my tape and proud of the rest of my guys' tape. So that's really the most important part of the night.
There he is, Devontae Adams, letting you in tomorrow. Another Packer legend celebrating 10 years since the Packers last won a Super Bowl here on the Wendy's Big Show. Toodles.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.